We want to open our Bibles once again in the book of Revelation, the chapter 5, the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And we're commencing to read at verse number 1. I'd like to, Mr. Sister Olive from London, it's lovely to have you here once again in the Lord's house. And we pray that God will bless even that time of fellowship together. Revelation chapter 5, commencing to read at verse number 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every nation and tongue and people and nations, or kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. As our brother was opening the service this morning, he quoted two verses of Scripture, quoted two statements concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. One was in John's Gospel, chapter 1:29. It says, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the other was found in the verse number 12 of this fifth chapter of the book of the Revelation that we read a moment ago. And it says, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. Behold the Lamb, for worthy is the Lamb. In the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, you'll find that John was caught up into heaven and he got a glimpse of glory. And as John saw into heaven, it says in the verse number 1, After this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And here we find that as he looks upon the one upon the throne, he is caught up with the majesty, he is caught up with the mystery of the scene. And it's interesting that he describes the one upon the throne, but you notice his description of the one upon the throne. And there are many symbols and many figures of speech that describes God in the scriptures. But you'll notice it says, and he that was to look upon was like a jasper. And a jasper is a hard stone. And it says, and a sardine stone, that is a stone, that is a stone of fire. And it speaks about the holiness of God. And as John sees this and is caught up with this, he sees also something else. He sees that in the hand of the one sitting upon the throne was a book. And the book was written on the backside and within. And there were seven seals upon that book. And then the challenge was given, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And the answer comes back that there was no one worthy. There was a silence in heaven when the question was posed, who was worthy to open the book and to open the seals of the book? But there was no one worthy. And the Bible says that John wept, I wept much, verse number 4. And his heart was melted before God. And I believe that no wonder the cherubims and the elders and the glorious ones stopped. Because there's something happening in heaven, friend, that's very different. Because there's a man weeping in heaven. The Bible says that God shall wipe away all tears. But there's a man, and his name is John, as he stands and he looks. And he hears the challenge being given. Who is worthy to open the book? But there was no one that was found worthy. And John began to weep. And he said, I wept much. Or in other words, I wept bitterly. A man crying in heaven. And as he cries and as he weeps, because no one is worthy, then one of the elders stood forth and they brought a word of comfort. Because it says in verse 5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. John, don't weep. There's no reason for your weeping. There's not a man found worthy here, but there is one worthy. There is one worthy, weep not. It is so possible for it to bring false comfort to people. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ met the woman coming out of the city of Nain. They were carrying her son upon their shoulders and were taking him to the grave. And the Lord Jesus said to that woman, he said, weep not. Listen, my friend, if you and I had said that to her, we would have been mocking her. We would have been bringing her a false comfort, because here's a mother whose heart was broken over a son that she was taking to the grave. Naturally, she would weep. But one of the elders speaks and says, John, weep not. Listen, behold. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the minute he heard those words, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, his heart was stirred and his tears were taken away. John looked, and he looked immediately to see the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as he looked upon the one there who was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, David's son and David's Lord, how could he forget him? It says in verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. You see, John was looking for a lion. Instead of a lion, he saw a lamb. He was looking for that mighty lion with its mighty mane and its gaping jaws and its claws of steel. But John didn't see that. He saw a lamb. He saw a lamb in the midst of the throne. Listen, friend, he had been so taken up with other things. He had been taken up with the throne. He had been taken up with the throng. He had been taken up with the thrill of the scene that he didn't even see the lamb. And is it not true that you and I can be caught up and taken up with other things that we miss the lamb to? That we miss the Savior, friend. We miss our blessed Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, John loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one that laid his head upon the Savior's breast. Yet whilst he was taken up with the scene around him, he missed the lamb. It was in the midst of the throne. And there he is. This is what it says. In the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood the Lamb. You know, that's where he always is, friend. In the midst. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was in this world? And he walked the scene of time. Where was he found? Where did Joseph and Mary find him, friend? In the midst of the rabbis. And then you remember he was there on the cross. And when he hung there upon the cross, where was he, friend? He was in the midst of the two thieves. And you remember whenever the disciples gathered discouraged in the upper room, and their hearts were breaking because they did not understand what had happened to them. Their Savior is gone. Where did he come, friend? In the midst of them. And they held out his hands. They showed him his feet. In the midst of the disciples. And friend, that's where he is today. He says, "Where the two or three are gathered together in my name," he says, "there am I in the midst of them." But something else, friend. He's always in the midst to bless. And you know, before you and I criticize John, why didn't John see him? How could John, in this dramatic scene that was before his eyes, how could he miss the Lamb of God? But before we criticize John, friend, is it not true that you and I so often have missed and failed to recognize him in the midst? We have seen other things, but we have missed the Lord. And here we're gathered in God's house this morning, friend. Let me say this to you. You and I need to be conscious of this fact. He's in the midst of his people. He's in the midst of his church. And that's why it's so important that you and I be careful what we do and what we say. But there he is. The Lamb in the midst. You know the title, many titles are given to the Lord Jesus Christ, but a title that was often used of Jesus Christ, I believe, is one of the most loved titles that you and I have of the Lord Jesus Christ is, he's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb. And yet the Lamb is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Only twice in the Gospel. Only once in the book of the Acts. Only once in the Epistles. And yet he is shown to us as the Lamb of God some 28 times in the book of the Revelation. And you know, once John sees the Lamb, then his tears are wiped away. And once he gets his eyes upon the Lamb, listen, my friend, he cannot take his eyes off him. Because you see, in the Old Testament, the lambs were the foremost in the midst of the children of Israel. They had been offered in the tabernacle. They had been offered in the temple. The children of Israel would never forget the Lamb, because you remember the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb was shed and the Lamb was slain. Why? That the firstborn of every household of Israel might be able to be made alive and remain alive in the land of Egypt and to be saved from the hand of death. Throughout the Bible, we're brought face to face with the Lamb. You study it in your own time, friend. I can only give because time is quickly going this morning. In Genesis chapter 2, we see the Lamb prophesied. Abraham and Isaac going to the mountain. And as they go to the Mount Moriah, there's a burden on Isaac's heart because he can't understand it. His father has got the wood, he has got the fire. But listen, there's no Lamb.
And how can they sacrifice? How can they make a sacrifice? And me and my son, we're going yonder. We're going to sacrifice, but there's no sacrifice. And Isaac can't understand it. And so he takes the courage and he turns to his father and he said, Father, you've got the wood. You've got the knife. Father, have you not made a mistake? No lamb. And Abram said, God will provide himself. The lamb. The lamb prophesied. In Exodus chapter 12, we see the lamb specified. Because you see, as far as God was concerned, no other sacrifice was demanded. They were slaves under the most powerful monarch and kingdom on the earth. And yet the amazing thing was this, that God was going to bring deliverance to the children of Israel, not through a mighty deliverer, but through a lamb. And the lamb was specified. In Isaiah chapter 53, we see the lamb crucified. And there on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's precious Lamb, He shed His precious blood. He died an atoning death. He died a substitutionary death. He stood in my guilty room instead. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, it says. Yes, the lamb was crucified. But our brother mentioned it in John chapter 1 and 29. The lamb was identified. And John says, listen, there's the lamb. And whilst Isaac was asking his father Abraham, Father, where is the lamb? John says, there's the lamb. But here in Revelation chapter 5, we have the Lamb glorified. You know, Revelation is a book that draws you ever closer, closer and closer to the Lamb. I suggest this morning that ought to be our prayer. Please, God, draw me closer to the Lamb. Draw me closer to the Savior. Oh, that I might behold Him, that I might see Him. You see, in the book of Revelation, 28 times the Lamb's mentioned because He's the center of the book, friend. And He's the center of our worship this morning. And He is the center of our praise. But there's an amazing thing here, Revelation chapter 5. I want you to notice something. It's a curious thing. Because whilst John looked for the lion, in the midst of all the mystery, in the midst of all the majesty, in the midst of all the magnificence of the scene in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ is depicted as a lamb. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Everlasting One. He is even seen in the scriptures as the man of war, and yet we find here He is seen in heaven as the lamb. But friend, I want you to notice, it's no ordinary lamb. Because I find a wonderful thing here. You see the word lamb. He said here, in the midst of the elders, in the midst of the beast, the four beasts in the midst of the throne, stood a lamb. The word lamb there is a little lamb. In actual fact, it's the word for a pet lamb. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ ever be depicted as a little lamb? It was a small lamb. And yet He's the Ancient of Days. Why would He be depicted as it were, a little pet lamb? You know, Philip and Tracy brought their little boy to God's house this morning. And Do you ever hear a father or mother turn to their child and say, "You're daddy's little pet"? And you know what mom and dad say? "You're precious to me. You're precious. You're my precious one." Let me tell you, my friend, you read the book of Revelation, and I think it is an amazing thought that in the book of Revelation we see Satan appear. But how do we see him? We see him as the great dragon. And then we see the first beast appear, Satan's first beast appear, and he arises out of the sea, and he's a mighty beast that brings the world into fear. And then we see the second beast, and the second beast arises out of the earth. And we see man mobilized by the millions against the true and the living God and against his persecuted people. And what does God show us amidst of all the great dragons and the great beasts? He shows us a little lamb. Don't you think that God does things through the mighty things? You see, God says he takes the foolish things. God takes the little things. God takes the nothings. And I believe that they're God's laugh. God's laugh at the big things. And let me tell you, friend, whilst the fear of the mighty dragon would come, and whilst the fear of the great beast would come that rises out of the sea, and whilst the fear of the great beast that rises out of the earth comes, here's God's answer. A little lamb. A little lamb. But he's not only a small lamb. He's a slain lamb. Because it says there in verse 6, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. Let me tell you, friends, in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all my heart, he bears the scars of Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, and he stood in the midst of his disciples there, and he just passed into their presence. And as he stood in the midst of them, yes, remember that day that John was there. And John wasn't there the first day, and then when it came to the further day, and the first day of the week, the disciples were together again, and the Savior came again, and he stood in the midst of them. And he showed his hands, and he showed his feet. And let me tell you, friend, he said to John, he says, "Listen, would you put your finger? You put your finger in the nail prints, because it's really me." And there's a lamb in heaven, friend. Behold the Lamb of God. Carries the marks of Calvary that will ever remind you and me that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and he paid the price of our redemption, that you and I would never perish, that you and I would never be in hell. Unworthy though we be, lost and lonely, he found us. But praise God, he saved us by his grace, and he drew us to himself with the cords of love, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gave us saving faith in Christ and in his redeeming blood. And praise God, we are saved today because of the Lamb that was slain. And when I see him, I will recognize him. We sing the hymn, "I shall know him. I shall know him as redeemed by his side. I shall stand, I shall know him. I shall know him. The prince of the nails in his hands. Oh, my names are written in the palm of his hand, and so is yours if you're saved today, and all the redeemed of God." But let me tell you, friend, there's the mark of Calvary, because that's how he redeemed us. And that's how he saved us. And that's how he sealed us to himself. It was a small lamb. It was a slain lamb. But notice, it's a standing lamb. Because he said, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Oh yes, they bared his back and they beat it. And they made him carry his cross. And then they took that piece of wood and they stretched him down upon that wood and they spread out his hands and they nailed him to the tree. And they hung him up in shame and they stood by and they laughed and they mocked and they scoffed him. And then he was taken down of the tree and they laid him there, the disciples, yes, they laid him lovingly and tenderly in the grave. But I want to tell you the story doesn't end there. One day he stood up. And the blessed Savior who was laid in the grave, and they carried him, and they put him in the spices, and they wound him in the clothes of death. Glory to God, he left the clothes, and the Savior stood up, and he walked out of the tomb. He stood up. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And there he stands before the throne with a nail prints in his hands and he pleads my cause in his presence. He stands in the ongoing ministry of intercession for his people. He's a lamb that's standing. That's what Stephen saw. He saw the lamb standing. And he said, I see Jesus. And he's standing at the Father's right hand. And glory to God, he has finished the work, but one day he's not finished standing to welcome his blood-bought people home, and one day he'll receive us unto himself. There's another little thought here, friend. Listen, it's a strong lamb, because the Bible says there were seven horns. There were seven horns in this lamb, and horns in the scriptures, friend, is a symbol or the emblem of power. And the seven horns, seven is the number of perfection. Let me tell you, friend, he might be a little lamb, but let me tell you, he's God. Oh, very God. And don't you think that small lamb has no power, friend? For praise God, he's perfect power. You see, a ram uses the horns, or an animal uses his horns, to ram and sometimes even to gore and to overcome its opponent. He might be a little lamb, but let me tell you this, friend. He'll deal with the old red dragon. And he'll deal with the beast that ariseth out of the sea, and he'll deal with the beast that ariseth out of the earth. For he has perfect power. And then there's something else. He's not only a strong lamb, but he's a searching lamb. Because the Bible says, there are seven eyes. And the description of Christ and his resurrection glory in heaven, friend, just rejoices my heart. The seven eyes are the seven spirits. And the seven spirits are beings full of eyes. Speaks of the lamb's great wisdom. Speaks of his intelligence, ever probing, ever searching, impossible to hide from. And the all-knowing lamb sees every move we make. He knows every thought we think. Altogether. There's one last thought. He's the sovereign lamb. What right hast thou to take the book? Lamb, what right hast thou to take the book with the seven seals that are thereon? And what right hast thou to look upon it? And he said, I have every right to do it. Because the heavens and the earth are mine. I created them. There is nothing in the underworld, friend, that he hasn't dominion over. His rightful place is ruler of all, for he is King of kings. And he's Lord of lords. Are you discouraged this morning? Let me suggest something to you. Whatever it is that discourages you, lift your eyes at that this morning, and you just fix your eyes upon the Lamb. The all-seeing Lamb. The all-searching Lamb, the strong Lamb, the standing Lamb, the slain Lamb. Yes, no be the small Lamb. This book is filled with the Lamb. In actual fact, I didn't get to my message because I wanted to say the Lamb in the book was this, and I just give you the headings. The Lamb's Book. You'll read about the Lamb's Book. In Revelation chapter 20 and Revelation chapter 21. You'll read about the Lamb's blood. In Revelation chapter 7. And you'll read about the Lamb's bride. In Revelation chapter 19. Behold. The Lamb. 10,000 times, 10,000s and thousands of thousands broke out in heaven. There's no tears. But they're rejoicing. And they're shouting and they're praising in the glory. And they're saying, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And the elders, they bowed down before him. Oh, may God help us to bow this morning. And if your knee hasn't bowed in saving faith before the Lamb, may God grant it'll happen today. Now, for Jesus' sake, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word this morning. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou will just write Thy Word upon our hearts. Help us to get our eyes focused on the Lamb. Oh, we thank Thee, it says in Thy Word, unto them that believe, He is precious. Oh, God, help us to believe You with all our hearts. Give us, if there are those among us without saving faith, Lord, we pray that they might know that gift today. Saving faith in Christ and in His redeeming blood. That they might look away from time and things and of this world. And behold the Lamb. For Jesus' sake.